Okay.
So anyway, we're talking about when he was retiring, so the commander told him, asked him what he liked for, so from them. So he was thinking about this blocking tackle. I guess he's seen this, it's up to now, his family, his Eugene and them, they still got it.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted a good blocking tackle, that 1-inch nylon with a big blocking tackle on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first one that ever went to barrel. And so every time somebody catch a whale, he had it in a box. You notice it, it's always in the box. And every time somebody catch a whale, they take that out. And boy, with that thing, that block there, you can pull the whole whale up without too much problem, you know. And it's so big and strong, I mean, you know. So that was a really good thing that he done for the village, for the whalers especially, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays they can get any kind of blocking tackle they want, but them days that was really big. And they appreciated them whaling captains when they borrow it, they used to give them the share too for the using the blocking tackle because it's so handy. And he never take it out with him either because he leave it out in a safe place. The only time they bring it down is when they catch the whale. And as soon as they're done with it, they take it up. You know, after losing the equipment in that breakup 1 year, so.
Because he didn't want to lose it, huh?
Mm-hmm. So now they're still using it now as far as off whaling, spring whaling and all that.
Well, I've asked all my questions were just, you know, memories of him and things
mm-hmm.
that stand out and what you want other people to know about him. So, if you have other things.
Well, as far as a barrel, some of those older people, they knew him. They kind of respect him many a times. He done so much for people, you know, helping, like. He was taking care of the elders or
a
lot of old people. Every time he catch some fresh ducks or something, he always thought about these old people, you know, elders that can't hunt anymore. He takes them up and share with them. And that's what makes him a good hunter, too. It gave him lots of good luck. You know, a lot of these old people always wish him good luck and all that.
Say prayers.
They prayed for him to catch some more, and they never fail.
He was a good provider that he was a good hunter that provided for people that was in need of not only subsistence food and stuff, but some other stuff that otherwise would probably wouldn't get.
He has saved two or three people from, they could have been frozen or, you know, like that. He had done that for them. There's another guys that were broke down up out in a tundra in the wintertime, and they ran out of gas, and they were just about on the last stretch of their strength walking. So it was getting dark, and Kupak was camping out there again. I think he's got an instinct or something that gets him to do something a lot of times.
And he follows up with
it. Yeah. So he was out there standing, and he seen the little spark way out there in the dark. It was clear then. So he thought, well, he got on his snow machine and head out, and here these two guys were walking. One of them was just ready to fall down, you know. That's when they got him just in time and took him to his tent camp and warm him up, gave him some coffee, and then took him to the village. Then he rescued one of the bush pilots. That was another good one. He was out in his trap line, checking his trap line. He was trapping foxes. And them days, when they first came up with a snow machine, they had this small snow machine with a one cylinder, they call them, their transportation. He was heading home, and next thing you know, right in the middle of the lake, there was an airplane upside down. So he kind of thought, gee, he thought somebody already dead or something in that wreck. It was upside down. So when he got there, there was a guy in there that was the pilot. Pete Mary's name. So he took him back, and he was going to take some polar bear hunters out, but he was taking his airplane to Barrow. So he got him back to the village, and his other pilot was just ready to go out and search for him, but he got him back.
Pete Mary?
Yeah, he was a pilot, wing pilot and then he had his own airplane. He did a lot of wolf hunt and polar bear hunt. When the polar bear hunt was legal, then, you know, take the polar bear hunters out of Barrow. Him and Frank Rickery was his partner, or another pilot. So he took him home, and then Pete Mary was so happy, so thankful. So one year, he got a bunch of wolves, and he took some wolf skin, I don't know how many were, in a bag. So he went over to Annie and Kupak, and tell them, hey, you folks want some wolfskins? And Annie always need a wolfskin. So he brought the whole bag, and he took them off from the bag on the floor and told Annie, pick up the best one you can find there for you. He said, he was still thinking about that rescue that Kupak did. He says, he can't forget that. So he got one of the wolfskins.
What about this instinct of his?
Well, he always something in his mind. He had one that about some guy got lost. He said he was thinking of it or something. So he just in his mind, you know, they couldn't find him. That old guy that they had a hard time finding in Kupak went out. Found him, I guess, that year. Wepper, old man Wepper.
Tony Wepper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tony Wepper.
Antonio? Antonio was his first name?
I don't know, but Tony, was that his name?
Tony Wepper? Tony Wepper, yeah. Old man Tony Wepper.
Old man?
Yeah, I think this is his
young.
Yeah, one of his families. Mm-hmm. So, hey, I found him out there just going around circles, I guess.
So was this instinct just for finding lost people, or did he have it for other things?
There are times when he gets some kind of food and he takes it to some certain people, and these people would say, I've been thinking about some of these things and was hoping somebody would bring me some. Mm-hmm. And this has happened to him more than once, mm-hmm, that we know of.
Just like when he was out way up in the Brooks Range with the San Francisco, and they got these whistling squirrels. The big squirrels?
Sikirikpuk.
Yeah, whistlers they call it. Yeah,
Sikirikpuk.
Yeah, Sikirikpuk. So this old guy, Okumaila, his name. He's my favorite man because I known him ever since I was a little boy. He used to hunt those in his young days up there. So when he got some of them Sikirikpuk, he saved the meat, took them home, and he was thinking about this guy that always talk about him, how good eating they are, you know. He never had them for many years because he was a really aged man. So he took a couple of them over to his house. Him and his wife, old lady, and were home, and he just looked at them, and he said his tears just came down. He was so happy to see those squirrels, you know.
Marmot.
Yeah, so his wife was telling Kupak, he said he was talking just a few days, he was just talking about those sikarikpak, how good eaten they were. He wish he could have had some someday, you know, and that's one of them. So
I've heard him talk about some of this every now and then when he takes some certain kind of food to some people, and you know, sometimes you crave something, mm-hmm. and you don't think you're ever gonna find somebody that would give you something like that or go out and get it. Like that one time when Flora, Levitt, I guess he was just craving polar bear feet. So Kupak had gotten a polar bear a few days after, I guess, and he went and took those feet over there because he had heard that Flora had wanted
them. He took the leg with the feet in it.
With the feet on it.
We used to distribute some of that polar bear to the people that needed people, like, you know, the people that can't hunt. Because...
Mm-hmm. Auntie was so happy that she got that meat with the feet on it. Yeah, there's some people that... We used to eat caribou hoofs and stuff. The feet part of it.
It was a delicacy for the people. Huh. They cook them good. Yeah.
They have to be very well
done. Does the feet part taste differently than the rest of it?
It has the marrow flavor on that.
And the fat is not runny like the fat. The polar bear don't have runny fat anyway. When you cook it, it's kind of hardened up a little bit. It makes it good taste and everything. So, but you got to cook it good. That's the way they know it from thousands of years. They don't eat polar bear meat raw.
Yep. It's amazing that they knew not to.
They don't eat the liver. And the only thing they can eat raw, they got to chew it themselves, prepare it themselves. If you see a raw meat out there or raw caribou or something that's been dead for days, you don't dare eat it because you didn't do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. It's just good for dog food, if it, you know, so. Fermenting them? How's that? Yeah, we do that a lot of time in the fall if we want to have some good quark, frozen quark. You take a caribou, and if you're going to save the legs and stuff, you just cut the legs up from the bone,
mm-hmm.
and slit the belly up, just slit it so it can pull out, and you let it, and you cover it with snow sometime and let it overnight, and as it cool off, same time, just overnight it, not more than a day.
You put it where it's like that with the head up,
yeah.
So that the air can breathe out.
Mm-hmm.
The mouth up?
Yeah.
So the next day you take it, some of it is almost green, you know, from that, and it gives a flavor, and then you just pull the skin out, peel it off, you know, and save the skin same time. So, and then you cut up that meat for quark, frozen food, and the pa, nekoka.
Stomach,
yeah, that is good too. Sometimes you put that.
That's where you have enzymes.
Sometimes you take the liver off and put it inside that stomach, and let it ferment with the stomach. That stuff. Oh, I love that. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I've never eaten that. I know Tilly really likes it. He talks about it.
Oh, I used to, Kupara used to send me some Every time I start getting small, I don't let nobody else do it. It's mine!
He even tells me, you can't have this, it's mine. He says, golly, I said, I'm going to tell Kupak on you, I said. So I called Kupak. And I says, Kupak, Sam don't want to share his stomach, fermented stomach with me. He said that is his and it's almost gone. So Kupak, he says, oh, I just got some box and you some. He sent me a box the next day.
And then did you share with Sam?
Yeah. I wasn't going to, but I did. Since he sent me big one. Holy one of those. Oh, I was so mad at him. He says, you can't have this. It's mine. It's almost gone. He says, oh, I'm going to chop Kupa on you. And right away, I caught him up. Kupa. Samuel Vasikinatiana. He don't want to share this with me. See, Sura. And I says, Neruka. Oh, gosh. Yeah. That is so good with Mr. Rock.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. If you like it, you know.
Well, I've never had it, so I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Someday.
Some people like it, some people don't like it. Just depends on whether you was brought up eating it when you were little.
Yeah.
You know, have taste here and taste there. Me, I must have ate everything inside.
Because you like all of it, huh?
Because I like it, except for maybe that tinuga. I can have a little bit, but not a whole lot. That liver that's inside his stomach.
Oh, yeah?
Another guy that he rescued was that Welly Bureau man, that black man. You know, this is more like that instinct I was telling you about, mm-hmm. Something in his mind that always bothers him. So one day, Annie was there with. He was evening. He started worrying about his trap line. He says, "Gee, I should go check my trap line." It was getting dark. Evening. He usually go in early in the morning. Mm-hmm. So he just couldn't. Good thinking about it. So anyway, he just got a little snow machine and took off. He says, I'll be right back. It's only about 20 miles out, I guess, or something. And so he head out. And way out there in the middle of nowhere, there was some guy walking. And he was cold, you know. And here was this colored guy that worked for Weather Bureau. He was out caribou hunting, and he got kind of lost, and his skidoo wouldn't start. So he just he always carried a little tent, I guess, set up a little tent and stove and warm him up a little and took him back that night. He said, they don't know what he could have done. Either he could have, you know, freeze to death, or maybe, you know, he was pretty slim. So that guy really appreciated, so he said to come over and whatever he wants from Weather Bureau, he can have. That they, when they have that commissary, the groceries they have. Yeah. So mm-hmm. Them days, you don't have much of that. They were hard to get a lot of stuff. The store, there was only one store, and it's always running out of, you know, groceries like mm-hmm. milk or stuff they need, or sugar or coffee. So he said, well, I could use some flour or milk or something, whatever he needed. He said, come over. So he went over there, and boy, he said he boxed him up some of the groceries that the kids wanted and everything for appreciation, for thanking him for rescuing him. And his wife was so happy, and he couldn't get over it, and he walked in here, this beautiful blonde. Yeah. Because, you know, it's unusual to see a black with a white, yeah. You know, so. And she was so pretty. And they're married to this black man, you know. He never was against it. He wasn't against anything, but he just couldn't believe himself. But he was the best friend he ever met, too. They were friends ever since. they left or whatever they did. So that was one of them.
It's just that when he gets that feeling, I think he follows up on it. Mm-hmm. If he thinks there's something wrong, then he does something about it. Go out.
Yeah.
Check things out. I guess one year he decided that he was going to be locking his doors because there were so many people drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard that one.
I don't think so.
And then after that incident, they found this young man right close to his house. He decided that he was never ever going to lock his front door again.
Oh.
As he says, they would at least come inside the front door, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been several people lying on the ground that he's found.
Because, you know, that house, you can see that, you know, people go back and forth right on that window toward Fisher's Field, you know, that window. People walk by there all the time, you know, going back and forth to Strawbuck or Post Office or wherever. And this family lives there. This young man always walks by there all the time. And I guess that one night he was drinking someplace and he was heading home, but right before he passed the window on their walkway, he was laying there. So that's when he was in his bad health, you know, he barely gets around, but he still goes out. He could get out and do things, and right after he had a big operation or something. So he went out to check it. Here was this kid that walks back and forth, career looks on. So he was passed out in the winter time. So he called up his dad, and old man Kabir looks at you. I'm glad you saw him, because he would have froze, because there had been company, three or four people freeze up there from alcohol. Remember, some of them passed out. They found him out there in the snowbank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could have done the same thing.
Yeah, I remember him telling me about Kaviva before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about those stories that he used to tell one winter about this polar bear? You've heard that one?
Which polar bear?
The polar bear with the cub that he got really close to, where inland, in a... This was quite a while back, I think. He was out trapping one year, and he got, I think he either saw this polar bear cave in a snowbank or something. And then he found out that the bear had either one or two cubs. And every time he went out to that area, he'd bring some food of some kind. And that
Mostly blubber.
And I guess that bear really got to know him pretty well, because he never even tried to bite him or anything. But he was pretty careful in not getting too close to that bear.
Yeah, he said he could even play with the cub, but the mother wouldn't bother him because he was, you know. But the Artie Richard, who really wanted back, but he wouldn't tell him where it was. he wasn't about to, he says. But I guess they could pick him up for that polar bear to go someplace they left, you know, but that's mm-hmm. what they were doing.
Towards the end, did he eventually took Terehiruak up there when he went back for the last time? I kind of think that he may have taken Harry Jr. there, because mm-hmm. After keeping it secret for such a long time that he took Harry Jr. I don't know how old Harry Jr. was at that time.
He was just a little boy. He used to take him along anyway a lot of times.
Like Tigre, he takes his little boy.
Yeah, it sounds like he took Tigre a lot of places.
Yeah.
That's why he knows the country. Well, of landmarks.
Yeah, well, he's Junior.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Because I always remember that one about the polar bear.
Yeah, I know he told me about when he was a kid having polar bear cubs. And then he told me a story about going after a bear out on the ice and throwing his gun and running under the bear.
And he's brought home some bears that he got from the bear. But I haven't heard how he got those. That was when he was still probably running dog's
team. Yeah, it was with dog team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to go home. Well, I have to go return the car, actually. So
when are you leaving?
Next week. No, the 19th. So, do you have anything else you want to tell me about Harry before I turn it off?
Oh, I don't know, Karen. I think I'll right. just tell you what.
Warn you out.
I got a lot of stories, but, you know.
Sometimes yeah. we don't remember.
Yeah, well, another time.
Yeah, because as far as the hunting and something, I told you what I knew. And a lot of it I learned, even though I had hunted all my life. Every time before I went to Kupak, I used to do my own trapping and mm-hmm. hunting, but as we go along, when I started going with him, there was a lot more I could learn, mm-hmm. which I thought I knew. My father taught me quite a few, but mm-hmm. my father was altogether different than Kupak, you know. He can take me out once and you think, that's it, you're on your own or something, you know. Mm-hmm.
But uncles are the ones that helps out a lot, it seems like. It seems like.
Okay. Deborah.